What are we talking about today?
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tell Me Why You're Special. This is a show where I put people in the hot seat and we get to the real truth behind what it actually means to step into your potential and build something that matters. This is the arena, okay? This is not the place where we just only celebrate the highlight reel. I think the highlight reel is important, but this is the place where we pull back the curtain and kind of talk about what's actually happened because that is where the gold is. That is where the real conversations live. My mission with this show is very simple. I want you to walk away from every single episode knowing that your story is worth telling. That thing that you've been through, the thing that you figured out, the thing that you wish someone had told you 10 years ago, that is someone else's lifeline right now. Okay? So today's guest has built something that I think a lot of people need to hear about because it touches something that most of us have felt but couldn't necessarily name. You know that feeling when you're like good at your job, maybe great at it, but something still kind of feels off, like you're running the race in the wrong shoes. He's figured out why that happens and more importantly, what to do about it, okay? So I have Ken Stevens here so he can tell us why he is special. Ken, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Brandon, thank you so much for having me. It's my privilege and a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So I start most of my guests off with the hot seat question. You have 60 seconds to give us your elevator pitch, who you are, what you do, who you help.
Good way to start.
Yeah.
I'm on a mission to help 1 million people get at a jobs that they hate and find work that fuels their passion and inspires their purpose. And I do that with an assessment that I created called the Job Passion Type Indicator. And unlike other assessments that measure your personality or your behavior type or your strengths, your natural strengths, this one kind of identifies the missing piece, and that's identifying what you actually enjoy doing, okay? What can actually enthuse you and energize you. And so I'm on a mission to use that assessment to help people find work that that they'll actually love to get up in the morning and go and do.
Yeah, I love that. Where did this whole thing even start for you? Like what happened in your own life or career that made you go, listen, something is deeply broken about the way we think about work?
That day, I actually felt very broken. That day, I actually came to that realization. I'll never forget that day, actually. I was 34 years old. At the time, I was vice president in charge of a global corporation, or I wasn't in charge of it. I was vice president at a global corporation. I had a job that people would have lined up around the block twice for. One morning, I woke up and I couldn't get out of bed. I hated my job so much. And it didn't make any sense to me. Like, I should have loved it. The pay was great. The people I worked with was great. Had all these wonderful benefits, but I hated my job. And I thought about it for a long time. And after a couple of days, I kind of figured out what it was. And I figured out that I kept getting promoted for things I was really good at doing. Okay. And the more I went up the line, the more of these things I was good at doing, I had to do. And when I stopped to think about it, only 20% of the things I had to do in this job were things I actually enjoyed doing.
Right.
I was very good at it, but I didn't enjoy it. And see, that's why it's the missing piece. People right now are leveraging on their resumes all of their skills, all their experience, all the things they're really good at doing. And they might be leveraging themselves into a job they actually don't enjoy because just because you're good at it doesn't mean you have a passion for it. So that was. At age 34, I figured the solution was to find a job that I could feel passionate about doing. So only one problem, I had no clue what my passions were.
Right.
So I started buying books, every book I could find on finding your life passion, finding your life purpose. At the end of it, I had 43 books on my shelf on how to find passion, how to find life purpose. And none of those books connected the dots for me. So I had to kind of figure things out on my own. And it was literally 16 years of trial and error in my spare time trying to figure things out until one day it all clicked. I actually figured out what I was passionate about. And then I just said, well, let's see if we can reverse engineer this and make it work for everybody else too.
Yeah. No, I think that's incredible. And what you said right now is that you had to figure it out for yourself. And this is something that I think makes you incredibly special. And I wish a lot of people would realize is if you can unplug from the system, okay? Because people are being grown up, told to find something that they're good at, build a career around it, pushed into college before your brain has even fully developed to decide whatever. Like we have just I think the system never really worked for people. I think it's worked to just keep us in the system a little bit. So if you could kind of unplug from all of that and think for yourself, you figure out something magical about the fact that, there is a big difference between being good at something and actually wanting to do it every day.
Yeah, and like I say, that you mentioned something earlier that really resonated with me, and that's this whole idea of we're pushed into doing things, right? And it's interesting because the entire assessment's based on your values, okay? And what you just talked about was the fact that, and I was guilty of this myself, we're living an inauthentic life. This is for most of us. Many of us, I shouldn't say most of us, for many of us, my observation, we are living a life that we didn't necessarily plan for ourselves. We're living a life that well-meaning parents and advisors, guidance counselors, whatever in school, they said that, hey, what you really need to be doing is find yourself a job where you'll never be unemployed. You'll always have a steady income. And with that income, you just keep making more income because then you can buy stuff to make you happy. And what I've discovered is that money does not make you happy. Okay. It just stresses you out even more. Okay. So that's not the answer. And nowhere did anybody ever stop to say, hey, you know what? What do you really like doing? Maybe that's the first place you should look to figure out whether or not that should be your job. Right. And so we're basically all in this trap. And that's why there's so many people out there that like Gallup does a study every year. It's the Global Workplace Study, or it's called something like that. Anyway, state of the global workforce, I think that's what it's called. And every year is basically the same result. Only like 21% of the people actually love their job. The rest of the people are either not engaged or passionately disengaged, right? Like 17% of them actually are passionately disengaged. Like it's actually they're toxic in the workforce because they hate their job so much, right? So that's why we have this problem because we're told to get jobs to make an income, not necessarily to make a life that we want, right?
And that's just it. We you hit the nail on the head. Like, we're not taught to build a life that we love. We're just taught to kind of build the life, the consumer life. Of, stay here, color in the lines, all of those things. So I think it's incredible the work that you're doing. And you've worked with leaders, like people are that are supposed to have it figured out, right? What's the one thing that surprises you, or a few things, I guess, that surprises you the most about what you find when you actually get in the room with them?
I don't know if surprise is the right word, but there is a common thread that kind of runs through it all. And really, it's something I just touched on, right? It's just that they're surprised. They've always been told that, look, get really good at doing something and you'll automatically be passionate about doing it, right? And that's kind of the surprise at the end of it for them is that it didn't really work out that way. It kind of makes sense to them that, well, if I get good at doing something, I'm going to like doing it, right? Because you like doing things that you're good at doing. But that's kind of the big surprise at the end of this is that just because you're good at doing something doesn't mean you're going to enjoy it. And so the other big surprise is that they're building their careers around income generation. And it gets back to what we talked about. They're not stopping to think about what kind of life do I want to live? Where do I want to live? How many hours a day do I want to work? Okay. Who do I want to be with when I work? Okay. Where do I want to be when I work? Do I want to be inside? Do I want to be outside? Do I want to be around people? Do I want to be alone? Right. They don't stop to think about all that. So then they say, who would I want to hang around with? Who do I want to hang around with in my spare time? What do I want to do in my spare time? So figure out what kind of life you want to live and then say, great, that's where I want to end up. How do we reverse engineer it so that I end up there? Right. And but we don't. We say, okay, let's go get a job, make a lot of money, and then we'll figure out how to buy our way to where we want to be. All right. And but we never really figure out where we want to be. We're always just constantly trying to make, get promoted, go up higher up the ladder, get more money, okay, get more recognition, all that kind of stuff. But to what end? Right? Because I can tell you that it doesn't make you happier in the end. Like, look at my wrinkles. I can tell you, right? Like, I've been around for a while, right? It does not make you happy. Okay. You only go around this life once, right? So if I can help people now, 40 years earlier than it happened for me, figure it out what it is that, what kind of life do I want to live? And then you start planning what needs to be in place for that life to happen.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Walk me through what it actually looks like when you work with someone who, when someone's in the wrong role, but they haven't connected the dots yet. So, what are the signs that everybody's missing?
The signs that they're missing, the signs that they have trouble is the like. Let's start there, okay? Let's start with signs. The signs they know that something's wrong, right? Is that it would be is this feeling of anxiety, this feeling of stress, right? This feeling of overwhelm, even that like I don't understand at work what's happening. Like I should be feeling good about my job, but I'm not feeling good about my job. And there's a couple of things. There are a couple of things that can be out of whack. Number one, it could be a values alignment issue, right? So the further we get up the ladder, sometimes we start to get conflict with our own personal values. It could be something very simple. It could be something like if you have a family value, like a value of family, right? And you are in a job, and the more you get promoted, you now have to travel more. And you have to be away from home like 4 or 5 nights a week, kind of thing. And you're not home at 5 o'clock to have dinner with the family. Sooner or later, that's going to be a conflict with your values that causes that stress, that anxiety, that discomfort, right? And so the thing that I always start with when I'm working with people is, let's see if you've got values alignment with the work that you're trying to do. Right. And so the good thing is that the assessment does measure your values. And then values, I use the values like Scrabble tiles. Okay. So instead of letters being on the Scrabble tiles, different values are on each Scrabble tile. And different combinations of Scrabble tiles, different combinations of values determine job passion types. And there are 21 job passion types. And so it all starts with your values. Let's understand whether or not you're being your authentic self and what it takes for you to become your authentic self. So that's really the, you said that like a what surprises them and things like that is sometimes the fact that I can't believe that I'm doing this because I realize now it really is not part of my core values.
Right.
And the thing is you don't consciously think about your core values, right? Because they're all happening on a subconscious level. So there, big surprises are when we actually reveal and unearth, what their values really are. And that is a great place to start all kinds of conversations about, okay, what do you want to change because of this?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like what I've really learned from people that I've worked with, like high-end coaches and stuff, that they were some of the most unhappy people that I've ever worked with. That was a common thread for me, and a lot of that came from not being in alignment, and it also came from making money this thing that it wasn't. And I think a lot of people, that's the American dream, right? Make the money. Like, that is the root of where everybody makes their decisions. And sometimes that gets you caught up in a job you don't like, and it's been 20 years, and now you think it's too late. And every promotion you get kind of makes you a shell of yourself. So what would you say to someone right now who, just got that next promotion? They're 40 years old, and they're like, it's too late. I'm stuck.
Oh, it's not too late. It's not too late. Okay. Think of it this way. I like to think of life like four quarters of a football game. Okay. So the first quarter, first 25 years, you're just learning how to play the game, right? You go from being the baby to getting educated to finally finding your first job. Now you're 25. Okay. So that's just learning how to play the game. The next 25 years, from 25 to 50, okay, and you talked about 40, so you're still in. You're just in that first quarter where you're actually playing life. Okay, you're playing the game for the first time. I call that the rehearsal stage. That's where you get to try a bunch of stuff, figure it all out, figure out what's working, what's not working, get good at stuff. Okay, now you're 50, let's say. So between 50 and 75, nobody retires at 65 anymore. Trust me, you get bored if you do. So
Yeah.
You're gonna keep working. If you're doing something you love doing, you're gonna want to keep working, right? And so between 50 and 75, okay, that's what I call, okay, that's you're on stage, right? You had the rehearsal, that was the dress rehearsal between 25 and 50. Okay. Now you have a chance to do it all over again with everything you learned during the rehearsal stage. And this time you get to do it following your passions and with a sense of purpose, finding a why that you can really get behind, something that gives you a sense of meaning and accomplishment at the end of the day, right? So it's not too late at 40. I mean, it's perfect. You're at the perfect point to say, let's pivot.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, I watch people all the time using age, as a roadblock when I'm telling you the past couple of interviews I've had have flipped that script upside down. So it's kind of non-negotiable, about stewarding your potential. You guys, there is something more out there, something bigger for you. There is, this whole conversation about culture in the culture about burnout, that hustle culture. And so everyone's talking about workload and boundaries and rest. And I realized that I felt that burnout when I was doing a bunch of things that were not aligned for me. And the minute I really have started doing what I do, I work now more than I ever have, and it's not work. Like, I have to force myself to walk away. I'm like, go say hi to your family, right? Go, you got babies out there, get out there. But what is the root cause of that nobody's really talking about?
I think it's values, right? It's
Yeah.
values. It all gets back to values, right? Like it's just if you're not aligned with your values, then that's exactly the outcome that you described.
Yeah. Have you ever had pushback with this? Like someone, that's just in the room when you're presenting this and they cross their arms. Like, has anybody given you a lot of resistance to what you're teaching?
That's a really good question. You know what? There is some learning. When I first started doing this, I used to talk about it in terms of job passion. I
Yeah.
was talking, kept, in fact, I even wrote this book, Dream Job Discovery, right? And
Nice.
the whole thing was, find a job that you feel passionate about doing and all this kind of stuff. And what I found is that just talking about passion will trigger the arm crossing. Because there are people that are saying that's way too woo-woo, that's stupid, that's all that kind of stuff, right? And so if I lead with that, if I talk about passion, passion and purpose, like you got to find a job you can feel passionate about doing. A lot of people say, no, you can't make money following your passion, right? Yeah, tell that to everybody who's a multimillionaire, like Oprah, for example, who followed her passion and she grew up in poverty, right? So don't say that you can't make money, Richard Branson. Okay, give you a
Yeah.
classic, a couple of examples, right? That's not the issue. So I avoid all that now by talking about find work that you can become enthusiastic doing,
Yeah.
that energizes you, that motivates you. The kind of work that you put a cup of coffee down and an hour later you look up and you haven't even taken a sip yet because
Right.
you got so engaged with what you're doing. So now I talk about engagement. And an energizing and enthusiastic response, that kind of thing. People don't cross their arms to words like that,
Yeah.
right? But the word passion, that can just turn some like deaf ears right away,
There's
right?
people a little
So
bit.
that yeah, so that's part of the learning. When I you know well Since I started this, I don't lead with the word passion anymore.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Ken, have you ever been in a season where, like, you're doing everything you built, but then you still felt like something was misaligned?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it didn't work out perfect for you. You guys, do you hear this? It wasn't just like a magical wand where you figured it out and never had a struggle.
Yeah, no, it's the beauty of it is like so. I'll give you a classic example, right? So I was 34. Okay, I came to the conclusion I am not going to be happy in the corporate world because I'm going to have to put on my resume all the stuff I'm good at, and I'm going to get another job, and it's just not going to be any better than this one. So I decided the solution was to become my own boss. So I decided to hang up my shingle as a marketing consultant. Okay, boom. Okay, so now I'm a consultant. And that kind of morphed into becoming a business growth consultant and then specializing in just one piece of business growth. Some days, the good news is some days, because I thought being my own boss might be the solution. Maybe it's just the corporate world. Maybe it's just the fact that I have to answer to people and there's politics and all this kind of stuff. Maybe that's why I'm not happy with the job, right? But no, it wasn't that. I mean, and I was happy to find that, more days than not, I would wake up and feel good about doing my own thing, being my own boss, having my own clients. Okay. I still couldn't figure out why every day wasn't like that, though, right? And then when I finally figured out what my passion was, I realized that, okay, it's because passion is not a thing. People say like my passion is, oh, my passion is like tennis or something like that, right? Well, tennis is a thing, or my passion is painting, like I love to paint with oils or acrylics or whatever. Okay, well, that's a thing, right? But when you think about it, there are thousands of things in the universe, okay? And you're trying to think of just that one thing to be your passion. My big epiphany was the day that I realized it wasn't a thing. It was a process. Okay? It was a theme. Okay. So I'll give you a classic example. Analyzing or calculating, evaluating or judging, persuading, entertaining, storytelling, organizing or coordinating, right? Those are the kinds of things you see on job descriptions. The person for this job needs to be good at analyzing or calculating, or evaluating or judging, okay, or organizing or coordinating. Okay. Maybe it's a sales role. They have to be good at persuading, they have to be good at socializing, right? Teaching or training. Right. So those are workflow processes. Okay. And that's the thing that clicked for me. So some days I would, in at being my own boss, I'd be doing a workflow process that quite frankly was not my job passion type. Right. But I have to do it because, hey, it's my business. And that at that time the business was so small that I couldn't afford to hire a bunch of other people to work for me and do all those things, right? So that's what you learn as you go along. When you do find, this is the key part of it. When you do wake up one day and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting that feeling again. Okay. Now you know where to look. Now you're saying, okay, well, there's a workflow process somewhere. I'm speaking Canadian here. I keep saying process, right? But I'll speak American now. Process. There's a workflow process here. Okay. And that process is something that obviously is not my job passion type, right? I have to find someone else to do that work. I'll outsource that work somehow. Right. And that frees me up to do the kinds of things that I love doing. Right. So now, and like I say, and sometimes too, you get into a situation where your values are out of whack. And the other thing too is your values are not cast in stone. Your values change depending on what your circumstances are in life, right?
Experience all of that.
Like you can imagine, like when your values when you're in university are different than when you're married and now have children, for example, right? Or different when now that you're retired. Like it just your values will evolve and change over time. So that's another reason why you may wake up one morning and go like, oh, I got that feeling again. So you have to check in with your values and you have to check in with your job workflow processes.
That makes a lot of sense. So you have built something that's really different. It's challenged the way that, hiring and careers have worked forever. Did anybody try to talk you out of this?
Heck no. Heck no. Actually,
Awesome.
the awesome thing about it is that, and maybe it's just the way I explained it. I basically explained it saying, look, there's always been a missing piece to the whole, job hunt process, right? Like it's just that everyone always gets ahead based on, every job, basically, you get hired for performance excellence. Who is most likely to perform the best in this job role? That's the person that gets hired. No one ever asks whether or not there's going to be incredible productivity in that role because the person's passionately engaged with that activity. And that, by the way, is the big benefit to companies now adding this to the toolkit as another way to assess, that missing piece. Like if we can find people that are passionately engaged with the work that needs to be done in this position, there will be higher productivity. There will be better culture fit, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll have less people, won't be a revolving door anymore. These people will be happy. They're going to want to stay. All this money we're investing in training them will give us return on investment because they're going to stick around.
If my husband's listening to this, he's like, please, can Ken come and talk to the owners of my company? Can you please get them in there right now?
I, you know how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, they absolutely could use a little help. But someone listening right now, imagine, they're sitting at the job that looks great on paper, good money, good title. It checks all the boxes. They're feeling empty though. So what's the one thing that you would say to them right now?
If they're feeling empty,
Yeah.
I really think at that point in time, fulfillment is what they should be thinking about. Okay. And therefore, they should be saying, okay, and that gets back to designing your life. That's what we talked about before. Like, so figure out what's not fulfilling about your current job role, right? What would be more fulfilling for you? Is it doing work that has more meaning and purpose, for example? I mean, you could be doing work that you actually like, but in an environment that doesn't give you meaning and purpose, right? It's because it's just the environment or what the company stands for. And maybe it's just not a big enough, maybe there is no big meaning behind it. It's just a thing that gets done, but you want to have more meaning and purpose. You want to make a difference with the work that you do, right? So take some time, have a coffee, think about it, some quiet time. Like I'm no scrolling time, just some real old-fashioned quiet time where you sit down and you say to yourself, why am I not feeling fulfilled? What would make me feel more fulfilled? Is it a lack of meaning and purpose? What would give me meaning and purpose?
Yeah.
Okay. And then so that will help you figure out whether or not it's just an alignment with your why. Go find somewhere where your why is in alignment with what you do very well and what you love to do. Okay. Or it could be that there's just too much baggage that goes with like what I discovered is a funny thing. What I discovered is that the higher you go up and the more money you make and the more benefits you get, okay, that does it, that's you feel less fulfilled. It's not because it's almost like you have to keep doing it and keep doing it, and then you're doing it to impress people, right? And then it's just like, okay, now it's just for show. Okay,
Right.
well now I have to keep doing this, and then there's pressure to keep doing it because all your peers are going to be saying, well, what are you doing? Okay, like the best thing you can do really, just sell everything you own. Okay, take three suitcases and move to another country, try it all over
Yeah.
again. Okay, and then you can build fulfillment from the ground up, right?
Right.
Not recommending that everybody does that, but it's just an idea.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fabulous advice. My last question for you today, and then once you answer this, make sure you tell us where we can find your book, your framework, wherever we can get linked with you. Show notes will include everything, okay?
Sure.
What do you know right now that you wish you could have told yourself at the very beginning of this? And not necessarily about the work, but about you, Ken.
Yeah, if I could go back 40 years and talk to a younger version of myself, I would say, don't give a damn about what anybody else thinks. Don't give a damn about impressing anybody else. You're here once, it's your life. Okay. Your parents' job, for example, was to teach you everything you need to know to make your own decisions to become self-sufficient. Okay. At the point that you leave home and you start working on your own, okay, you should no longer really care what anybody else thinks about the decisions you make because you've been given your own brain and you've been trained to make your own decisions. And your life is not their life or the life that they plan for you. Okay. Just take a stand and say, hey, this is what I want. And I know you're not going to be happy with the choices I'm about to make, but this is my life and I only get to do it once. That would be the advice I would give myself. I spent a lot of years doing stuff to keep other people happy.
That's amazing. And I mean, I hope you guys are taking notes at this point, honestly, because Ken has got some great advice today. Where can people find your book? Where can they find you?
Well, actually, yeah, the book Dream Job Discovery, it's available on Amazon, right? And it helps use the assessment and tells you how to how to use it in conjunction with the other assessments, because it's not a this assessment doesn't replace the other ones. It's just the missing piece, right? So it tells you how to do that. But more importantly, if they go to careersgroup.com, and that's careers with a Z, not an S, so careersgroup.com /resources, okay? There are a ton of free resources there to help people figure out what it is they want to be doing with their career, what it is they want to be doing planning their life, and basically to figure out how to find work that fuels your passion and inspires your purpose.
That's amazing. Can I have to say this? You are special, and what you're doing matters in a way that goes beyond charts and hiring processes, because at the end of the day, what you're doing is giving people permission to, stop pretending that being capable is the same as being called. I'm obsessed with core ethics and values and helping people align with that. I love this. They're getting the permission to stop grinding through a life that looks right but feels wrong, and that is not a small thing. To every guest, every entrepreneur, every leader, every person who is listening to this and building something, I need you to hear me right now. Your story is not a liability. Your struggle is not something to hide until you get on the other side. The mess you're in right now, today, that is your message. And that is the very thing that is going to connect you to the person who needs exactly what you have. You don't wait until it looks pretty. You don't wait until you have it all figured out. You open your mouth and you tell your truth, because your truth is somebody else's breakthrough. So stop sitting on it, okay? Make sure you get resourced in the links. Go find Ken, learn about his work, get all the free resources, and then come back here, because the show exists for one reason, and that's to remind you that what makes you you is the most powerful thing you're ever going to build with. I will see you guys in the arena. Ken, thank you so much for today.
Brendan, thank you so much for having me. It's the host. Thank you.